So in 1947, then you had decided that you loved the job and you were going to stay there.
I was going to stay there. I was going to stay there for a year. And I was having fun because I was building something. And I purposely got myself involved in working on every job. I mean, whether it was indexing, whether it was cataloging, whether it was declassifying, I did everything. Mm. I mean, I would spend time learning each job. And I enjoyed doing it. And I always felt there was a better way to do things. So when I, during the 50s, I enrolled in graduate school at the University of Tennessee and would take courses at night in industrial management.
Mm-hmm.
And I completed all my coursework. They were waiting for me to write my thesis, and then I got transferred to Washington. Mm-hmm. I never did write my thesis. Mm-hmm.
Well, now, at Oak Ridge, so you were first reading the materials and then setting up the systems. Who made the decisions about setting up the systems? Was this what Bernie Fry was doing?
Bernie Fry set the first systems up.
Uh-huh.
Down at Oak Ridge.
Uh-huh. And when did you start microfilming for the AEC reports? Was this...
Well, we did microcards down. They had to be in the... It had to be... Time goes by so fast. It's been so long ago. It had to be in the 50s.
Mm-hmm. So
it had to be in the 50s. It probably in the early to middle 50s.
Mm-hmm. So you were still working on a paper-based system in the 40s.
We had a big printing plant down there.
Uh-huh.
And we were printing all, because that was a central printing plant for the atomic energy commission.
Mm-hmm.
And we printed A, D, and D there. We converted all to nuclear science abstracts.
Right, but that's not till... in fact, I don't even know the beginning date. I meant to look
back.
Well,
I can't give you the beginning date, but I remember that when we went to nuclear science abstracts, it went beyond reports, because then we started picking up open literature.
The journal literature, right.
And we contracted with the Department of Agriculture to cover part of the open literature for us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I remember they gave us a whole bunch of nucleic acids. Well, I didn't have a damn thing to do with nuclear energy. But that's the way it was. In those days, most people didn't know what it was. And then eventually we started doing it ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What kind of information handling techniques were you all using at Oak Ridge?
Everything was manual.
No punch cards or anything while you were at Oak Ridge?
We started with punch cards. I'll come to the punch cards when we started putting indexes in each of the issues.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Of what became nuclear science abstracts.
What became nuclear science abstracts. Mm-hmm. Bernie Fry probably deserves most of the credit. He and Alberto Thompson for expanding beyond just the reports that came out of the Atomic Energy Commission and the Old Manhattan Project. But we used the traditional systems. Everything was traditional. Remember, we started to put out catalog cards.
Mm-hmm.
But this, I remember, they sent me around to different centers to find out what happened with the catalog cards, and it was a disaster.
The place for the AEC deposit centers.
Yeah, each of the centers, each of the labs, because we were sending out thousands and thousands and thousands of catalog cards, and nobody could get the damn things filed. I mean, I found shoe boxes, all kinds of shoe boxes filled with catalog cards.
Hmm. You know. Where were these places now?
Our labs.
At Oak Ridge?
No,
Oh, around the country.
Oh, around the country. You had Los Alamos, you had Brookhaven, you had Argonne, you had University of California Radiation Lab, you had Los Alamos, you had Sandia, you had, you know, plus major contractors.
Mm-hmm. No one was filing them, huh?
Well, some were filing them, but they had this huge backlog. couldn't keep up with them. Because there was a flood of literature that started coming out. And remember, this was in the 50s. It was an exciting time. I learned a lot. Mm-hmm. I had good teachers.
Yeah.
I learned the publishing business. We published the Manhattan Project Technical Series, and that was really done at the request of Alberto Thompson. He put that thing together. We didn't have any people that could edit. We didn't know anything about publishing. And so he set up an arrangement with big publisher. Who's our large book publisher in this country now? It's still, that hasn't been bought by the Brits.
McGraw-Hill?
McGraw-Hill,
right. Yeah.
And McGraw-Hill sent the team down. I reported to what was his name? Damn. I can't remember his name. I'll have to come back to that maybe. But we had a senior editor that Alberto hired to be the chief down there, because to him the big thing was getting out books, these books, which was the history. This was the technical history of the Manhattan Project. You know, great books. He hired this man who was an editor, Boardman, B-O-A-R-D-M-A-N was his name. I remember coming into his office one day. I was standing on the outside waiting to get in because somebody else was in there. And the senior McGraw-Hill editor was in there. This was during the summer. We didn't have any air conditioning. We had fans going every place. It was hot as hell. And the door opened up, and out came this guy in shorts. This is a government office. This guy was wearing shorts. And I kind of got this, I suppose, this shocked look on my face. And Ford saw me with the shocked look, and he said, come on in, Mel, and take off your pants. This guy never wore shorts after that.
Well, you say you started using punch cards, but not until the 50s.
Yeah, we started using punch cards. What we did, we used punch cards. What we did was we bought thousands and thousands of these IBM punch cards, 80 column. Okay. Remember, they were, the reason we settled on 80 columns, as you know, was because we converted the U.S. Treasury, converted from the big dollar bill to the small dollar bill.
Right.
And they had all these die cuts all around, and you could cut all kinds of, and it worked out fine. And what we had in those days is we had sorters. And what we would do is we would type the individual index entries on the top of the IBM punch cards in proportional spacing, looked like book face type.
Mm-hmm.
We call them PSM, proportional spacing typewriters in those days. And then we would sort, and we would sort, and we would sort, and we would sort, and we would sort. Around the clock, we would sort. And, but we finally got them in the right kind of order, and we came up with report number index in each issue, an author index in each issue, a subject index in each issue, and a corporate author index in each issue, and four indexes in each issue. And which was unheard of in those days. I mean, we just...
Now, these were IBM sorters?
These were IBM. Well, I don't know. Yeah, I guess they're IBM sorters.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who else put out sorters. I'd say so. The IBM sorters.
Well, Sperry Rand had some.
I see. We were just. We had. I'm pretty sure they're IBM sorters. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. I'm sure there are IBM swimmers. And that's how we put out our journals. Mm-hmm. Besides abstracts, and we have published, we accumulate them on a quarterly, semi-annual, and annual basis.
Yeah, yeah. Now, were you going to ACS meetings in the late 40s?
No, I was down at Oak Ridge. I didn't go to any ACS meetings.
You didn't go to any of those meetings to hear about what the chemical folks were doing with the
Dyson carbon? I saw some of the stuff they were doing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
so you knew about Dyson's work and Perry and those kinds of folks?
I knew all those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely right. We were more of the operational side down there. The headquarters direction still came from Washington. And I was down there until 1958, I was transferred to Washington. I was put in charge of the... I was a young guy, and I was then director of the Petroleum Information Division.
Okay, so it was in 58 that you went to Washington?
Yeah.
Okay, because you had been assistant chief and then chief in Oak Ridge and then became director in 58
right.
In Washington.
Yeah, I reported first to Boardman, and then I reported to a fellow by the Abdian, A-B-D-I-A-N, A.G. Abdian. And when he left, then I was in charge down there, and then they moved me up to Washington.
And so you had heard about Taube's work and met them. When did you first meet Taube and those folks?
I first met Taube when he was Thompson's deputy. He came down to Oak Ridge, and we had a backlog in those days because we didn't have any automated equipment to speak of. And he says, well, as of today, we don't have a backlog. I said, well, how do we take care of that? He says, we have an arrearage. We don't have any backlog. I remember Mort was always coming up with stuff like that.
Yeah.
Mort, he was a very bright guy. He fell in love, of course, with his indexing.
Mm-hmm.
Matching that, which was good. I mean, it was a contribution, there's no question about it. He and I were very, very good friends. We had one big argument.
And later, were you responsible for him getting the contract for docking?
I was not responsible. I mean, it was my contract. He came in with the best proposal.
Uh-huh.
But the docking got that contract, and he and I were very good friends. But let me tell you, that was to set up the NASA information program.
Right.
And I had made a commitment that we would have a journal on the street, an abstract journal on the street in 60 days. We started from nothing. Let me explain. When I went to NASA, I stayed at the Atomic Energy Commission until 1960. In 1960, a member of the Atomic Energy Commission, one of the commissioners, was appointed by Eisenhower to be the first administrator of NASA. And he had heard about the work that I had done at AEC. And they liked, AEC was the leader in those days.
Right. Before we go to NASA, can I pick up some things in the meantime?
Yeah.
Now, we were talking about nuclear science abstracts. I had that it started about 47, but there was there was something before that with the
ADD.
Right. Okay. And then you started nuclear science abstracts.
Yeah.
And so we talked about your role there in between the first one and then started nuclear science abstracts. Now, there was a meeting in 1953 at the Welch Medical Library at Johns Hopkins. Were you at that meeting?
No.
Where they didn't know about the work that they were doing with the IBM 101 machine?
What were they doing?
Well, they were. It was working with medical subject headings and those kinds of things.
But well, I didn't get into medicine until I went to National Library of Medicine.
Yeah. The reason I mentioned that meeting is because that was what folks have been telling me. There were about 300 people at that meeting. Apparently, that was the realization that there were a lot of documentation people around, and that ADI ought to become an open membership organization.
I see. Well, Mort Tau was active in getting ADI set up, too.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, you joined the Special Libraries Association someplace in this in the area?
I joined all of them.
Yeah.
I just believe as a professional, you ought to support your professional societies.
Were you active in SLA in the late 40s, early 50s?
Not too active. I'd go and give talks and what have you and so forth, but not like I was with ASIS. Gave a lot of talks, sure, but I did a lot of other stuff.
Mm-hmm. When did you first...
I could show you some personal checks where they were really bankrupt, and I made personal checks out to make them.
Is that right? I know they had hard times financially in the early times.
I won't go into... Well, we don't publish this stuff. I can tell you what happened on that.
Yeah, I want to get into that, though. When did you first become aware that there was a documentation movement? Did folks like Bernie Fry and Alberta Thompson start talking about this thing?
Well, it was obvious that the librarians at that particular point in time, as a community, was not going to take the leadership.
Now we're talking about the American Library Association community or the Special Libraries Association?
Both communities. All I'm saying over here is that when we started with the Atomic Energy Commission,
mm-hmm.
Okay, we started with the traditional library tools. And all we did was just duplicate what had been done for many, many, many years.
Including subject headings?
Including
Library of Congress subject headings?
No, we didn't use Library of Congress subject headings because Bernie and worked out a different system. We used they were using Library of Congress subject headings.
But you were using regular catalog cards and
regular catalog.
That kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But go ahead, now you were talking about. You didn't think that the Special Libraries community was able to handle the technical information?
Well, the technical library, the librarians that were at that particular point were very, very conservative. And whenever you came up with a library problem, they forced it in to the systems that already existed. But just the way it was.
Namely the Anglo-American cataloging rules, subject heading.
Everything we did with
cars.
And it isn't that everything we did was bad, because all I'm just saying is that this huge avalanche of literature that came out was non-book literature.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you would handle individual reports differently than you'd handle a book. You know, with the number of subject entries I'd have for a 300-page book would only be a small part of what I would have for a 30-page report.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was completely different. It was completely different, that's all. And they hadn't been trained to do on this new, and they were very comfortable in doing what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And there were still books coming out, and they would still do it exactly the same way. I mean, that didn't change.
Mm-hmm.
It just didn't change.
What about the users at Oak Ridge? Were they finding the systems inadequate? I assume that you had folks coming in and you saw the other...
We did not have an operating library at our facility in Oak Ridge. The AEC library was up in Washington.
Uh-huh.
And the woman who ran that library was Jean O'Leary. Jean O'Leary was the secretary to Admiral Groves. And when the civilian agency took over, they had to find a job for Jean O'Leary. And Jean O'Leary became head of the headquarters library.
Mm-hmm.
that's, I think, one reason why they brought Bernie Fry up there. She was a librarian.
Yeah, yeah.
Jean was our librarian. I mean, she ran a very good shop, and she knew everybody. You know, as Admiral Grove Secretary, she knew everybody.
Yeah.
Whether it was up on a hill or whatever, I mean, you know, that was invaluable in the early days, getting things done and that kind of support. And
but now the scientists, because there wasn't a library where you were at Oak Ridge, the scientists were going someplace else?
No. Oak Ridge National Lab.
Uh-huh.
Oak Ridge National Lab was the R&D group.
Right.
Remember? Okay. And the gaseous diffusion was a production operation. And as was the electromagnetic separation plant. It was a production operation.
Mm-hmm. So all the researchers were over at ORNL?
Well, no, either that or some other universities we have been so far.
Or the other sites.
See, remember, we never went through. We didn't have time. Normally what you do is you develop something at the laboratory stage.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have a mock-up, and you run it with a small mock-up, which will be more than just, you won't be using laboratory equipment. You try to set something up so it can be like an industrial operation, but it's not a full industrial operation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we skipped all that because we didn't have time. There was a war on, and so if you had it, we would do a lot of development work right there. We were doing production work.
Right. Okay.
We skipped it. Mm-hmm. So a lot of that was just skipped. Now the Oak Ridge National Lab was a research and development arm. There's no question about that.
Mm-hmm.
And they developed, and they were working on different reactors, not just doing R&D work for the Hanford.
Mm-hmm. But now, when you went out to Alamogordo or Sandia Labs or the other places where the AEC centers were, how were they handling their? You said they weren't filing their cards.
They were trying to file their cards. Mm-hmm. They just couldn't keep up with it.
Couldn't keep up. Who was doing the analysis, indexing, and those kinds of things? That was your responsibility, and your section did that?
Well, we had a group in Oak Ridge that did that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I did some of that, sure.
Uh-huh.
I did most everything. I mean, I wanted to learn it.
Yeah, yeah. And these were folks trained?
I learned from some good people. There's no question. I can give you names of some. Al Warhite.
Right.
Was a librarian down at, he was out, when I was out at Oak Ridge, after Bernie left, Al Warhite was the top librarian. Al left us, I think after I moved to Washington, and went to IBM.
Mm-hmm.
Al was a very capable guy. This is no question.
He did some nice work.
Al was a very, very capable guy. This is no question about that.
Mm-hmm.
And he deserves a lot of the credit in making the indexing system that we developed, which was a dictionary type indexing system for the nuclear science materials.
Mm-hmm. The format, or the indexing format used in nuclear science abstracts. Now back to the special library community, there was an expression around in the early 50s that the special librarians used to make fun of the documentalists by saying that documentation was special library work done by amateurs.
Oh yeah. Well, we were amateurs. In the early days, I would go and give talks because I headed organizations. I had to give talks, and when I would talk about the new technology and so forth, you know, they would laugh at me.
Hmm.
And I can remember when I worked for the. I'm moving away from our basics. Don't lose your train of thought. But when I was at the National Library of Medicine, I had it, and I was at ASIS, it'd be 1976. I was president there. I had to give a talk down in Nashville, or as they say down there, Nashville, in Nashville, Tennessee. Okay, and Vanderbilt was in Nashville, And they have a fine medical school and a good medical library, a fine medical library. We had tied them into the Medlines system in those days, okay? So I went down there and I want to see the computer that you have where people could do searching, okay? So the guy says, okay, he reaches into his desk, he pulls open a drawer, takes out a key, and we go back into the stack someplace, and it, well, there's a little room, and he unlocks the door and goes in, and there is the terminal, okay? Okay?
Not exactly accessible. Huh?
Well, he did the searching, or one of his people did the searching, but yeah. I mean, it's and all I'm just saying, it was because in the early days, the new technology was considered by many librarians as a threat, because it was a threat to the way that they were doing things, not necessarily a threat. It became a threat to them and how they interpreted it. They didn't see it as giving them the capability to do a lot more, you see. They saw them as a threat to a good, comfortable way of doing things that had worked for 100 years.
And by new technology, you meant, first of all, French cards, and then what? What other kinds of technologies?
Well, the computer.
Yeah.
Tapes. We started doing computer searching, and then lots of stuff that we could do. Remember, and I'll come back to this, you'll hear me talk about this again. We started producing, when I went to NASA, which had a great impact on our field, when I went to NASA, we started producing an index using computers, okay? The computers were to produce a journal. The computers were not to search the database. Mm-hmm. The database became a byproduct, okay? The because we had to get out this printed product. The printed product was primary, period. The database was, well, we could do batch searching, and then in 1965, we could do online searching, and so forth. But that was small potatoes. I mean, the big thing was still the printed product. And what we were doing is we were using the computer as a printer press. It was helping us put on our journals.
Switch tapes here, because